All right, so tonight is Lord's Day 50, and for those keeping track at home, there are 52 weeks in a year, so getting close to the end. That means, fortunately, this is the last time you have to hear me. Only one question tonight as well, but it is a very, very good question, I think. So. There are papers in back. All that it is the question. So you didn't get an outline for me tonight. Sorry. All right. So let me. I'll ask the question, and let's read the answer all back together. What is the fourth petition? Give us today our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. So, if I would have led this a month ago, as opposed to tonight, it would have been pretty different. It's been quite a last few weeks for our family. So, for those of you that may not know, although you've probably been listening to my prayer requests the last several weeks, my wife was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis over the summer, and really over the last 2 months has been going pretty steadily downhill, and in particular over the last month has spent close to 2 weeks in the hospital, and really hasn't been much out of bed for a month. And you know, that can be a little trying, especially with four young kids and everything else going on. And to throw everything else into it, I decided to start a new job in the middle of that too. So that was good timing. But all of that added together, when considering this question, makes one think. At least it made me think. So, what has our family been forced to learn some over the last several weeks? And are still learning. Some of us are hard-headed than others. I'll be the hard-headed one. We've been forced to depend on God. We've been forced to depend on you guys, on our church. Quite honestly, I think that Sarah and I are probably a lot more used to being the serving ones than being served, and that is humbling in and of itself. In the midst of me being forced to ask frequently, why doesn't anybody seem to care, because we've been wrestling with the healthcare system, which can be a challenge sometimes, I have to recognize my own hypocrisy in that whenever I acknowledge God's provision for a new job, literally at the same time. So that's interesting how sin and our minds work sometimes. There's been such provision of mercy to us. We have a wonderful sister here who has organized rides for our entire family, which is not a small job to do, all the way through Christmas, and many of you are helping with that. We've received meals 3 days a week for the last 2 weeks and probably at least the next month. Those are not small things. And in all of that, we're not even talking about the fact that it's impatience with what the healing process is, because thankfully we live in a day and age where there are options. In the 1800s, this probably wouldn't be the same diagnosis, right? But Sarah will be okay, we trust. And even though she's in pain and that's hard to see, there's a long-term hope but we'll talk about a longer-term hope here tonight as we go along. So, I guess I come before you as somebody who's been having to think about some of this stuff, whether he wanted to or not, and then quite honestly, didn't get around to starting to look at this question until Friday, and when I read it, I chuckled to myself. So also tonight, given everything else, I probably don't have my same range of sources as usual. A lot of what I'll be bringing to you is from Dr. Scott Clark out at Westminster West. He tends to be where I start, but then I usually try to go off into other sources from there. If nothing else, it makes me sound smarter. Tonight, I'm not smarter. But I think he had some good things to say, and I'll sprinkle in some of my own thoughts on top of that as well. So, one thing that we often think of is that we think about the idea of trusting as trusting without asking, but that actually isn't that asking is somehow innately untrustful or showing a lack of trust, but that's not actually consistent with what we see in Scripture. So, in fact, even just in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is asking. So there's one data point there. Russ, would you read Matthew 7?
7 to 10, right?
Yes. So we see there, right, there are many verbs in there: ask, seek, knock, right? So asking is not juxtaposed against trusting, but rather it is said, no, ask. Your Father in heaven is looking to provide, right, is looking to answer. And also, sometimes we are dependent and realize we're dependent. Like right now, I would say our family realizes that we're dependent. We're dependent on the direct body that is around us. We're dependent on God's love. We're dependent on God's provision. But sometimes we don't recognize that we're dependent. And so Clark actually points us and says, sometimes... Oops, sorry, I lost my mark here. Sometimes we're like what James has to say in James 1:17, where we can look and say, yes, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And so sometimes we recognize that. And sometimes we're like the rock badger. So where we're told that the high mountains are for the wild goats, the rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. The rock badgers, I don't know that they're particularly aware that the rocks were provided for them, and yet there they are, right? And so whether we realize we're dependent or not, we are dependent. I'd also like to point out that as we think about God's provision, we tend to think, at least it was funny, as I started to think through this and read some around it, I realized, you know, I've learned the Lord's Prayer since I was, you know, probably like 3, I don't know, maybe younger, right? And I've always thought about it in terms of like food. Maybe that's just me, I like food, but there's a lot more to it than that. And so, yes, there are the horizontal aspects to the Lord's Prayer. There's food and there's provision of work and provision of jobs and provision of a house and a roof over our head, and there are those provisions. And yet, someday, you know, not 100% guaranteed because the Lord could come before we die, but in all probability, someday there will not be enough for us here on this earth, right? We will all die, and our bodies will not have enough to support them anymore, right? And yet we know that this prayer is not all that is not that's not all that it's about. And so even as we think about, do we have enough? We thank God every day for our daily bread, for each next breath, but we all know that ultimately what really matters is that we have enough eternally. And so there's the vertical nature of this prayer, that our ultimate trust when we breathe our last is that we also know that when our eyes open, we'll be in heaven, right? And that's where real assurance comes from. That's where really understanding God's grace is. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is pointing towards an everlasting perfection and everlasting glory with God. Something I've been thinking and mulling over some is what a provision the body of Christ has been for us lately. And it's interesting as I've thought about that, especially in terms of the idea of guilt, grace, gratitude within the Heidelberg Confession. Right now, we are on the receiving end. We are on the area or on the side of things where we're being shown great mercy and where we're being provided for by the body of Christ. And yet, even in that, those of you that are serving us in those way are acting out or living out your gratitude, right? And so the obedience aspect, the gratitude aspect of how you've been shown love, you're showing love to us. And so it's interesting to watch the body of Christ work. We've provided meals for people many times, and I understand that that's extra work, especially whenever you have young families and things like that, and you have to go and schedule when to drop meals off. And yet we do that thankfully. And I know that you all do as well. We've other than when we've had kids, we've never been on the receiving side of that. And so to be on the receiving side of that and to understand how thankful we are for that and how thankful, really, we couldn't like run our lives right now if it weren't for everything that was going on from you all. So. But we see this idea of grace and gratitude coming together. As I mentioned also, I recently started a new job, and Clark actually calls out that the Lord provides through work. In Psalm 104, again, we see all these different areas of creation doing what they were created to do. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them, The birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. So, I mean, you have birds doing bird things and goats doing goat things and wild beasts doing wild beast things. And yet, at several points in that, you also have humans doing human things, right? And doing work. We're not to. Again, as Clark puts it, he says we're unbelieving when we treat God like a cosmic slot machine, or as if we had to manipulate him to get what we want. The Lord uses means such as prayer and work to accomplish his purposes. Like believing children, we must trust him enough to ask for what we need. And as believing adults, we make use of the means he provides in answer to godly prayer. So we are to look at work. Yes, there's an aspect from Genesis that our work is cursed at some level. We don't find ultimate fulfillment in work, and yet we also were created to work. And it is a good thing. And through it, God provides. And so, and that's where I got to really thinking. I'm living kind of in this funny place just personally right now. I'm honestly loving my new job. It is a real answer to prayer. And so I've been able to, up until these last couple days, I've been able to have about 2 minutes worth of conversations with Sarah per day, because that's about as much as she can take. I'm really good company. But she's told me so many times in those 2 minutes how thankful she is that my job is going well, and it is an answer to prayer, and it's something that I enjoy. And so, how much do we take joy in God's provision on one hand, and yet mourn seeing loved ones in pain on the other, right? And so that's an interesting thing. And but I think, though, as I've thought a bit more about that, that's kind of, without sounding overly dour, what life is, isn't it? We take joy with those who are joyful, and we weep with those who weep. And that may not always be as directly as inside of our own household. It just happens to be that's where we are right now. But within our own church body, it is probably that all the time. And so I think it would do us well to think about that and understand that. And quite honestly, every week when we come to church and talk with people, if we're being really honest, some weeks we're probably either end of those spectrums, and a lot of weeks we're somewhere on the scale in between, right? And so I think that's where real empathy, real relationship comes from, is being able to work through that all together. Adrian, would you read the passage from Acts?
Yep. Acts 17:24-28. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind, life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having have determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring.
Thank you. So, I mean, this is from Paul's speech, sermon on Mars Hill, and his point to speaking to a largely pagan audience was, so how at some level how self-sufficient are you really? Where does everything come from? Even the world around us acknowledges that that there's some sort of goodness coming from somewhere, right? And I think that's true today too, right? Even though we live in some ways a largely post-Christian culture, we also live in a culture that is extremely concerned with morality, just morality on its own terms. Right, and place to place, there's a lot of unwritten rules or laws that of how you should treat people, and if you were a good person, you would do this thing, right? And a lot of those are people trying to figure out how to make sense of what does a good person look like, and people trying to make sense of really how do they want to be treated? How would they like to know and trust that there is some goodness coming to them from somewhere else? So for all of the self-actualization, for all of the movement of trying to live all on your own, you also want to know that your neighbor might be looking out for you, and apparently they were wrestling with the same thing back a couple thousand years ago. Who knew? So here's one more quote from Clark of what he had to say about this, and I would say that overall, from anything that we take out of this question, which is stated very, very well, or the answer to this question is stated very, very well, we have what we need in God, right? Everything that we need is in God. And that is the answer to what the world around us is looking for as well. Clark says, "How foolish it is to seek our daily well-being anywhere else and from anyone other than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our friends tire, our family disappoints. Only God is immutably faithful. Only God is omnipotent. Only God is omnipresent and immense. Only God is always nearby. Only in him do we live and move and have our being. Only he is capable of hearing our prayers. Only he never tires of hearing from us. Only he is able to help us." And I would say, too, maybe not in addition to that, but related to that, it is his spirit that moves among us that allows us to serve one another. It's why we're to live in community. It's why we're not to be churches of one. Is that hard sometimes? Yeah. is it easier not to embrace certain relationships sometimes? Yeah, probably. But every one of those things teaches us, and also we're to be showing God's love to one another. And that's true with any of us that know Christ. We all have the Spirit working in us. And interestingly, Sarah, while she's at home and basically on bed rest, has a lot of time to think. Not maybe a lot of energy to think, but that comes and goes. I have not had much time to think. And I'd say Sarah's doing better with this overall than me. So maybe if she had to work with insurance companies more, but no. But my wonderful wife knows that I might not be on my best game lately. And after running around and doing things and apparently looking particularly stressed yesterday, she texted this to me. And it was a little, graphic thing of Deuteronomy 33. So the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And then she wrote, the eternal God is Joel's refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And so even as we go through hard times, even as we go through pain, we can remind and encourage each other of God's ultimate love for us, because that's where it all comes from. And that is where all provision comes from. It's remembering that ultimately, as this question said it, that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. So it's from that, it's from God's blessing to us that ultimately we can know that we're provided for, and we're blessed to be able to show some of that provision to others. So let me close us in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for your provision for us. Lord, we thank you for how you provide for our earthly needs. We thank you even more for how you provide for our eternal needs. Lord, please be with us as we go from here. Give us strength for the week ahead. And may you provide opportunities for us to live out our gratitude from your love, to show love to others. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.